On the latest episode of Real Health with me, Carl Henry, I'm delighted to be joined by the whole food hero, Adele Owens, chatting all things on processed foods and lots more.
Put a date in your diary, in your calendar that you're going to work towards. That's movable. You can be flexible with that. So the doing part is obviously taking small incremental actions every single day, Saturday and Sunday included, that pushes you forward and that gets you to where you want to be.
As ever, it's available on all podcast platforms.
This week on Crime World.
There was a Republican police from 1920. I mean, the IRA was effectively trying to run an underground government. And actually, there was a crime wave, 1919, 1920. There's a wave of bank robberies, post office robberies, robberies of individuals, robberies of pubs in Dublin and in rural areas as well. So the IRA tried to actually clamp down on that. They, on occasion, solving bank robberies and giving the money back to the banks. Now,
I'm Nicola Tallant, and you can listen to my podcast, Crime World, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to the Left Wing. It's round two of the Women's Six Nations this weekend, and this championship goes up another few notches for Ireland. They play France in Toulouse on Saturday. Ireland have no points on the table after losing 27-19 to Wales at the RDS last Saturday. Now joining me on today's show is Irish Independent rugby writer Keane Tracy, who will be covering the game for us in Toulouse. And also here is former Ireland flanker and captain Claire Molloy. Claire, thank you for fitting us in between your night shifts as a doctor.
Oh, well, thanks for having me, Sinead and Keane. Sure, it's been a huge talk about last weekend's game, and excited to see how they go in France.
Absolutely. Now, we asked Lindsay Peat about this last week. You obviously announced your retirement last autumn. What's it like for you not being part of the squad in the Six Nations after 12 years playing with Ireland?
I think it kind of hits you in different ways, I suppose. I don't miss the long weekends and the travel to camp. I don't miss the double days, but watching last weekend and, watched all the Six Nations games, I think I do miss going out and trying to be better than my opposite number, and kind of think, God, would I still be able to do that? Like, obviously, I'm still playing club rugby, and I really enjoyed those battles with the opposition and, trying to get a good performance out there. So, yeah, I miss that. I think that competitive, some of the early mornings, not so much.
Of course. What are you like as a viewer now watching Ireland?
I've just come out of it. I'm looking for change, positive change in terms of our attacking structure. That's been refreshing to see us going forward with a more dynamic offloading style, like the try from Linda Duyang. That was lovely forward interlinking play. We had Del Van offloading to Nicola Friday, quick brick ball, Cronin playing in Sam Monaghan, who hit that lovely line, and then our Sonny Bill Sam. It's something I haven't seen that before at club.
I'm going to ask you about her later, obviously, because you know her from playing at Wasps.
So yeah, that's been good. I suppose, like anything discipline-wise, that's got to be something that's addressed. A penalty count above 10 in an international game is costly, and that kind of really turned the tide against us. So I think they're frustrated seeing that, but it's a young group. You have to learn by doing, unfortunately. And if you're just a short number of caps, it's just you have to go out and experience it and learn from each opportunity. So hopefully there'll be huge learning this weekend coming into France.
Yeah, well, the Ireland team to play France has been named. Now, there are no changes to the starting team or the replacements. I suppose the headline out of this selection is that Beavien Parsons is on the bench. Now, Ireland head coach Greg McWilliams was asked about this at the press conference today, and this is what he had to say about leaving Beavien, or Bay as he calls her, on the bench.
I had a chat with Beavien on Monday, because Beavien is, it's easy for me to say it when you got presser, but she's been ridiculous. She's fully fit. She's raring to go. But we, as a group, we thought it was best to keep the same 23 with Bay on the bench to come off and to do some damage. It's hard for her because, if you did replace one of the back three with Bay and that was your only change from the team that played against Wales, it's as if that one player did something that meant that things didn't go our way. So I think it's important that you put faith in the 15, and Bay understands that completely. We're about the team and about the squad, and Bay is just one player within the larger group of 26 for this game against France. But she is, without question, I believe, our most exciting player and she has a massive role to play with us moving forward, not just for this Six Nations, but after the World Cup at seven, she's going to be heavily involved with us, and she is world class. And I know the Irish people want to see her play, and you will this weekend.
So a few things on that, Keane. You could kind of understand it last week when Bavin was on the bench because we found out she was just coming back from an injury. So she came on at the RDS for Emily Murphy-Crow after 54 minutes. But I think the general expectation was that Bavin would start against France. Now, as Greg rightly says there, Bavin is our most exciting player, but he says he wants to show faith in the team. But surely against France, we start with our most exciting and best players, because the first thing against France is that you need to stay in the fight. You need to stay alive against them. So what are we not seeing here?
Keane? I don't know is the short answer, Sinead. I mean, the two of us were sitting next to each other at the RDS last week, and I remember I remarked to you how not just when Bavin came on the pitch, but every time she got on the ball, the crowd were up on her feet, and a surge of electricity goes through the crowd, and it's unbelievable. There aren't too many Irish players, I would say, across the board who that happens with. So, look, I think it's very strange, particularly when Greg McWilliams, the head coach, is coming out and saying she is our most talented, exciting player. It's kind of a bit of mixed messaging. If I'm playing devil's advocate and putting myself in his shoes, and I can understand he feels like he wants to reward the players who played last week, but at the same time, they still lost. It's not like you're changing a winning team. So for me, the bigger picture, and we touched on this last week, Sinead, with Lindsay, because Bavin Parsons isn't starting this game, so she'll hopefully be available for the Italy game next week. But after that, she could be gone. So you could face the reality that, as Greg McWilliams himself says, the country's most exciting, most talented player will have started one Six Nations game before she goes off to sevens. So I feel like a broken record when I'm kind of banging on about kind of the sevens and stuff. And it's hard not to when one of your best players is starting on the bench. You'd love to be a fly on the wall for the conversations that are going on between the two, because I know if I was a player, it'd be interesting to get Claire's view on it. If I was a player and my head coach was telling me all the right things, but you have to make do with a place on the bench, I would find it hard to stomach. So it's tough, because again, the bigger picture, we want to see Ireland's best players playing. Like, this is how you grow the game. Like, the amount of people, young kids, that would have went last weekend, obviously to support the team, but the person they were really there to see was Bavin Parsons. And if you want to grow the game, you've got to see this girl more in action, because it's all well and good towards next month, whenever it is, when she goes off to the sevens, and if she rips it up, like, it'll be great. But the reality is there's far more eyes on the Six Nations, Irish eyes at least, than there is on the Langford Sevens that's going to be taking place. So it's tricky, and it's definitely disappointing from a neutral and from an Irish point of view, I think.
Yeah, of course. What do you make of it, Claire? Do you think this is the right call by Greg to leave Bavin on the bench? Do you understand it?
I think there's probably, I can understand maintaining consistency in his selection. That's something that we didn't quite see in the last few years. You know, there has been a lot of variety and, you know, a lack of building combinations, you know, did let us down, previously. So I can see his standpoint there. And there's also the other elements of, like, what's going on in training? You know, we're not going to be in those rooms and seeing, and, you know, if he's backing his selection, you know, Emily Murphy-Crow scored a lovely try. She's a fantastic player. You know, she's a game changer, you know, proven try-scoring ability. And she's growing her game, and she's learning as well. Lucy Mulhall obviously was playing the other wing and is starting again. You know, this is giving Lucy and Amy valuable experience that they won't get, and they will be taken away. While Bavin has probably more 15s games on their belt, you know, looking from a sheer exposure point of view, you know, you could see it from Greg's point of view. It's like, yeah, I have Bavin. She's excellent. But these are two girls that have a lot less 15s experience. You know, they weren't involved in the AIL in the build up to the Six Nations. So is this their only run out this year? And, you know, the calendar is not calling for the World Cup. It's pretty vacuous for the 15s program in the summer. So, you know, is this the only opportunity they're going to get to play 15s until the next Six Nations? Is they even going to get to play more club? You know, I think there's a lot more play. I can understand, you know, from a playing point of view, yeah, hearing those messages on, you know, Greg speaking on the presser, you know, that can, I hope good conversations have gone on between him and Bavin, because, you know, you'd be like, oh, you're saying all these lovely things, but God, I just want to start. Complete sympathy.
If you were in her shoes, would you be really frustrated, Claire, hearing that, what he just said there about Bavin?
You don't know what other conversations have gone on. So, like, you know, Greg might have, you know, talked to her more in detail, given more depth, that she can make it easier to understand. And like, if you take that out in isolation, like anything in press can be interpreted and taken any which way. Like Bavin is, you know, an excellent competitor, loves getting on ball, and, you know, she'd be dying for the start. And, you know, that hopefully we see that when she comes on from the bench and makes a real impact. You know, the French back three are very exciting this weekend. We've got Sam Zeus out there as well, who, you know, in 20 minutes made four tackles, created a lovely line break and scored a fantastic try. You know, this is a very good back line that the French are pulling out. We are going to need, you know, to use our bench a lot more this weekend. You know, I think that's something we didn't do against Wales. You know, we commented on Johan Cumminen's successful bench strategy. It's like, well, we've got to learn from that. And, you know, maybe that's a little bit of, you know, it's a new management. They're not as familiar with their players. You know, they haven't had them as long. And then getting to know at what point in the game, you know, can they come on? What impacts will they make? But, you know, we definitely see more changes going to the second half so that we don't have that second half slump that we had last weekend. And Bavin's a key part of that. And maybe Greg's recognised that and seen Bavin as this is a huge asset for us, you know, a super sub to really, or a finisher, it's a term I actually hate, but like, you know, to come in and change the tone of the game, which we really didn't see from our bench last weekend.
Just on that, Sinead, it's interesting. Like last week we were kind of, you know, discussing that it is a World Cup sevens year. And, you know, was there maybe an element of that Bavin Parsons was being kind of held back for that? But I think the more I thought about it and the more you look at the team again, there are so many key sevens players within this team. Like Claire is touching a couple of them. Amy Lee Murphy-Crowe is also a superstar in the sevens stage. Lucy Mulhall is the captain. So you do have key sevens players. So I'm not sure I'm kind of contradicting myself, because it was just the more I thought about it after our discussion last week. So I don't know necessarily if we can put forward the argument that she might be being held back for the sevens year, because there's far too many key sevens players in that team. So it doesn't really stack up. So maybe Claire is right. Perhaps training hasn't been going that well, but I thought she looked pretty sharp when she came on last week. I mean, she looks to make things happen every time she gets the ball. And like I said, when you have such a talent like this, you really want to nurture it, I think, properly to make sure that you get everything out of the player's talent itself, but also try and, like I said, grow the game as much as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Claire, a real standout performer for Ireland last weekend was a woman you play club rugby with at Wasps. It is almost hard to believe that this is Sam Monaghan's first Six Nations. She was terrific last weekend. She had her brilliant offloads, as we mentioned, 3-0. She finished the weekend with the most lineouts, 1-8. What is behind her progression this season, do you think?
I think just at Wasps, when she came in, like, this is her second year at Wasps, it's just her ability to learn and to adapt and thrive. You know, her learning curve has been so steep, and she's just jumped and soared. Like, you know, she plays like a Maro Itoje, you know, a very abrasive to the opposition and in attack. I think she's our lockdown queen. Like, you could have 10 or 12 clips of her just blocking with the ball down. A couple of times resulting in tries. You know, she's been a phenomenal athlete for us, and just willingness to learn. Like, lineouts has been a big aspect again that she's worked on this season. You know, we've seen a dramatic improvement in that, and that's probably, you know, an element of her game that she knows she needs to work on. And it's been just to see that come to fruition. You know, we're playing that weekend, watching the game ourselves our forwards coach will be proud of her. So I think, you know, she's a rare talent. When she first came to us, we knew she was something special. And it's just great to see her performing in Six Nations now and really being a real leader for the team.
Absolutely. Keane, there are so many things Ireland need to improve on going to France. It was interesting to hear Greg McWilliam say today that they've had support from Paul O'Connell and John Fogarty this week. I think we can remember during the World Cup qualifiers last September when the set piece wasn't going well and there were kind of calls for Paul O'Connell to get involved. But in terms of their scrum, of defending the line-out maul, which the French love doing, France scored, I think it was their third try, you remember this, Claire, in their win over Yi last year off the line-out maul, and actually resulted in Aoife McDermott getting a yellow card for pulling the ball down at that time. So Ireland will need to be careful there as well. But King, Ireland really need all the help they can get this week, because France will absolutely expose those weaknesses on Saturday.
Yeah, I think first of all, Sinead, it's brilliant to acknowledge the fact that, you know, there is kind of, you know, that cross, the teams are working together basically, because you see it at the 20s as well. I mean, the Ireland senior coaches help out, so there's absolutely no reason why that shouldn't happen with the women's team as well. So I think firstly, it's brilliant to see that happening, the joined up thinking. But yeah, I think the fact that there's been no changes to the team, and especially to the pack, I think would suggest that maybe the depth isn't quite there at the moment, and they're going to have to work on this, because certainly if there was, I think Greg McWilliams might have made a couple of changes to that pack to kind of counteract the inevitable power that's coming from this French team. So look, he has picked the squad of players and he's backed them. I mean, I think I'm right in saying three players didn't even come off the Ireland bench last week as well, which was fairly interesting because you don't usually see that, I would say. I mean, we hear the cliche rolled out that it's a 23-person game and it really is. So having not seen three subs come on, I think was a bit interesting as well, particularly when the game was going awry for Ireland. So
look, yeah, I think he mentioned that afterwards, though, that that's something he'll kind of try and improve on is his use of the subs bench.
Yeah, like, I mean, and Claire kind of touched on this earlier. The only way you're going to learn is by, you know, getting the caps and getting that experience under your belt. You can't expect these players to suddenly be thrown in the deep end and be able to handle what's coming at them. So look, I don't think it's going to be an easy fix this weekend. I mean, especially the fact that they've only had a couple of pitch sessions this week. So like, really and truly, how much can you learn? I think their first session might have been Wednesday. They flew out to France on Thursday. That's really not a lot of time on the pitch. I know the players are unbelievably dedicated and they would have been doing their own fitness and recovery in their own time. But in terms of time on the pitch, which is really where you're looking to make improvements, it just shows how difficult it is. And France, you know, have had a far longer lead in time as well to the Six Nations. Like, why was it Ireland had three training camps to get ready for this? Like, France have been preparing a lot longer. So it's another weekend where we probably have to be realistic in our expectations. But even flicking through the French team, they're like, last week Wales had over three times the number of caps that Ireland did, but this week France only have about 100 more. So while the quality might be there, you're not facing the same level of experience, if that makes sense. So hopefully they can go over and put a good show on. I think the set piece as well is something that's going like really need to improve. I think you mentioned Sam Monaghan. I thought like she was outstanding, and if she is the one that's running the line out with Nicola Friday, then like going away to France, and I believe there's no tougher place to go for this Ireland team to learn on the job.
That's such a valid point, Claire, that Keane makes there. And it's something we might forget sometimes, but this squad have such little time together. It's so different to the national men's team, who were in camp together for most of the week and would have had all that time to dissect and work on improvements from the previous week. The women's team don't have that. As Keane said, they came back into camp on Wednesday afternoon. They flew out to France today. So the issues that they had last weekend, like their discipline, for example, with 14 penalties, is that enough time to get things right for Saturday?
I think there's like quick lessons that can be taken, you know, what's called managing the referee in terms of, you know, if they're hiding, because obviously the roll away and the breakdown tackle area was the key problem. You know, if it's a very simple, it's called quick focus that they can bring into session, is like, right, if you're making the tackle, you run away, you get out. And then you can either choose to, I suppose, leave the breakdown alone in terms of your jackler coming in, which invites less penalties in the first place, because it wasn't that our jackers weren't in the right place, you know, they were challenging, but if a player is in the way or obstructing an enabling, the referee has no choice but to award a penalty on the breakdown. So that's a real simple fix, you know, that's just a mentality that, right, we're going to have to slow the breakdown in a way that is an effective tackle on the roll, or whether we just get an aggressive line speed. And we saw that with our dominant tackle count being the highest of all the teams this weekend. We can get dominant tackles, and let's put the French skills under pressure. We saw the French team exhibit rustiness against the Italians, along with England, both kind of top tier teams that we're all, I suppose, aspiring to, you know, the professionalism. You know, there was an unforced errors, kind of a rustiness to both of their games. So why not contest the breakdown, leave it alone, don't invite the penalty, because we don't want the likes of Joanne kicking up the field. We know she could kick, but reasonable three-pointers from around the field and also territory game, you know, don't invite these opportunities. So I think that's something that can be fixed. With regards to set piece, that's a different story. You know, it's great to hear that the likes of Paul O'Connell and John Fogarty are, you know, helping out and giving Greg some advice, you know, helping Dave Hannon and Rob Sweeney that running it for the women's game. But these are big lessons. Like, I can't tell you that I learned in my first five caps how to scrummage properly and how to get off the scrum and defend properly, or how to defend them all properly, you know. That's just not something that's going to happen. I'll pick up little bits, but you know, those are detailed learnings that take months, you know, and lots of input. If you've only got 3 weekends of camps, can you spend, you know, 2 50-minute sessions on ball defense? Probably not.
Did that frustrate you, Claire, that you just didn't have the time to get things right?
I think it's was the nature of, you know, the priority was getting the AIL out and having that, what's called the top end league, and creating an AIL final and focusing on the club game. You know, there's so many things to improve on in the women's game. You can't just, we don't have an infinite time, you know, or infinite weekends to do this. So, you know, there's always going to be, to the detriment of, like, if we had more camp time, we would have taken from away from the AIL, developing more, a broader group of players. I think, you know, Greg McWilliams, hands are tied. You know, we had to choose one option, and there was always going to be pros and cons to it. You know, it's great to have a competitive AIL final, and, you know, that experience would have benefited the wider group of players. And obviously, we've seen the likes of Evie Riley benefit that and get her first start. And, you know, she's shown some exciting opportunities. You know, she's a young scrum half, and yeah, the speed of ball was great. Accuracy, sometimes not as good, but, you know, that exposure at that level is vital, you know. And Nick Cronin getting her first start at 10, you know, getting exposed to the speed that she's going to have to make her decisions under. You know, I think she did some nice kicking, but it also was a great learning curve for her to realise in international, you don't have that much time to 10 on the ball, you know, and she was put under pressure. And I think that's something she can hopefully bring into the next game. So yeah, we're kind of in a rock and a hard place between the amount of time we can have together as a group or the amount of game time that the girls needed. You know, we are coming off COVID. We haven't had a club season, you know, a full club season in over a year, 18 months before that. So, you know, we're in a difficult place. I think there was no right answer to the amount of time you could have together versus game time.
It kind of brings us into the argument of, you know, we saw the improvements that Wales made last weekend from last year. Obviously, they've got their professional contracts, and we know that a lot of work has to happen at grassroots level. But this Women's Six Nations, Claire, it's not a level playing field between the teams that are professionals and those like Ireland that are elite amateur. Where are you on the argument for contracting players?
I think the Welsh, it's called contracting, I think Greg McWilliams touched upon it this week, that, you know, a little investment gives a big return in the women's game because there is so little investment. You know, I think unlike in the men's game where you're looking at the Italy trying to catch up with the top tier nations and doing, you know, all the five countries ahead of them, their learning curve is just as high. While is Italy then? Well, in the women's game, you know, you look at the England and France, and they're kind of, they are still continuing improving, but they're not going to improve as quickly as called the other four. I think what we can do is hopefully in the future there will be contracts introduced for the Irish women's team, and that we reap the benefit and, I suppose, jump up the level a lot quicker than what's called England and France. So I think, yeah, there is disparity between the teams, but in comparison to looking at the men's Six Nations, I think it's easier for the women's teams to catch up with the top two.
Do you think they should contract players sooner rather than later?
I think going into the next Six Nations year, particularly with World 15 in place, you're looking at two large tournament windows with tournament prep. So you're looking at least, you know, so 5 weekends of games. You're going to have, you want to have more than 3 events of prep. So looking at 4 or 5, so that's 10 weeks by 2. That's 20 weeks of your year. You know, I think even just from a working point of view, mm-hmm. that an increased degree of hybrid contracts that Wales have offered as well. And you've seen other countries with bursaries in Scotland. You know, I think there will have to be come a point where we can't be relying on, you know, having a good group of contracted sevens players to beef us up and to be able to make these commitments. Or young students, you know, we need to look to support the player, the slightly older player, the professional, you know, the player with a career, and how we can get them to play their best rugby.
Well, the Six Nations, just to come in on that, Claire, the Six Nations shows that, like, you absolutely cannot rely on these sevens players because they're going to be gone at the end of it. So, like, how do you plan? You can't, like, as a head coach, you've almost got one hand tied behind your back, because it's all well and good starting all these girls now, but the reality is that, like, whatever it is, 6 or 7 of them are going to be gone, and most of them are starters now. So it just shows that you cannot rely on the sevens players to keep the Six Nations going. And ultimately, the Six Nations is what we've all been brought up on. Like, it's the lifeblood of Irish rugby. And Sinead, you're so right to point to the Wales example, because, like, personally, I didn't think, like, that Wales were exceptionally skillful in anything they did, but I thought their conditioning and their fitness was really, really impressive.
You could see it straight away. Yeah,
absolutely. And that's something that shouldn't be overlooked in terms of getting the contracts, because these girls are spending far more time working in the gym, working on their fitness. And that really showed at the end of the game, because Ireland led for most of it. And just that, like, you know, we bemoan the lack of pitch time, and it's absolutely right to do that. But just to put a positive spin in it, I was really encouraged by considering that lack of pitch time, how good the attacking shape was. I thought the skill level on show was really, really impressive from Ireland. So it just shows you what can be achieved. And we were talking to Niamh Briggs earlier this week about this, and she was saying since she's come in as assistant coach, she's kind of working with Greg and the attack, but they put a big focus on the basics of like catch pass. And like, you could really see that that had paid off. So you got to give the coaching staff as well as the players time. And I think it's encouraging that because they've had so little time, we've seen improvements already. The Claire touched on it, the set piece stuff and the maul, that will take more time because purely you need more time in the training pitch, but you can't do it all in one go. And this is why it's going to be a slow build. So yeah, like I think my glass would definitely be half full overall, but without kind of ignoring the bigger picture stuff that isn't going away anytime soon unless changes happen.
Yeah, I don't think it is going to go away. Now, just on France before we wrap, they still run up a bonus point win over a really exciting Italian team, actually. But they still had the luxury of making 7 changes to their team. I mean, it's just incredible. Among those changes, winger Sarl Bani and fullback Emily Boulard came into the team. Now, they both did damage, Claire, as you well remember, against Ireland and Donnybrook last year. They scored tries. We know this French team can do it any which way they want with their power and their pace. But Claire, in particular, what are the many areas, but the areas in particular that we need to watch out for on Saturday?
I think we've got to watch Senzu's. I think she's fabulous. Number 9, you know, French are blessed to have 2 fabulous in a row, Pauline Bourdon, out currently with an injury. I think she's just electric and exciting and, you know, should really threaten that first phase defence that unfortunately saw a poor example at the last minute of the game, you know, with the Welsh scrum try. So that's going to be something that will need to be very much watched, and that they'll look to target Ireland on that. Just looking at that kind of breakdown between the defence. You've got the likes of Bane, who's an excellent winger. You know, she's proven that when she's a try scoring opportunity. But I'd be optimistic, and I think something we saw with our defence is that our back three are very good defenders. You know, Amy Murphy-Crowe, Lucy Mulhall, you know, you might run past them, but there's not many people who won't catch you. You know, as I'm watching them against the Welsh team, we've got some of the quickest backline we've ever had. But if you make a line break, still back Eve Higgins to catch you, or Amy Lee Murphy-Crowe. You know, I think, you know, our scramble defence has been in this great time. And then I can't wait to see Stacey Flood in the midfield. I think it's a real big defensive game for her. And, you know, she made some stunning hits. And, you know, the abrasive style of the French defence, you know, their aggressive line speed, I think it'll be a good, interesting battle out there between her and Perronet. So I think there's a couple of exciting battles to look at. And then you've got Menage at number 8. So she's moved from flank to there for the weekend. Groves being rested. She's a big ball carrier, you know. She's about similar size to Emily Scarris. You're like 6 foot running at you. So she's going to challenge our back row. But I think the likes of Adele McMahon does like making a good chop tackle. And I think we saw her, you know, throwing her body where no one else wants to go multiple times. So that'll be a good battle to watch. And then, you know, we've got Linda, our secret weapon, knows the French, teammate of Jessie Tremoulier, can understand what they're saying. So hopefully we'll get some feedback in line out, and then the girls will be able to manage that better. And yeah, I know she's been a real talent. She excelled last weekend, and I'm looking forward to seeing her out there again. You know, I think it's going to be, you know, difficult for us to go away and win over in France. No Irish team has ever done it. I think what we need to see is improvements in our defence off set piece. So dealing with the maul, the French scrum. We saw with Italy, like to keep the ball alive, that they did threaten France. And, you know, the scoreline didn't quite reflect what the Italians were doing on the pitch. And then there was a lot of ill discipline from the French. So, you know, we can create that situation again, get our bit off the field, you know, Nick Cronin kick and touchline conversions, and then we knock away a couple of penalties, get some points on. And then it'd be nice to see the Irish maul. You know, it's not something we saw on the pitch, and see how we can be threatening up there. You know, we didn't really, you know, have sustained phase play. So it'd be nice to see if we can build some phases together and create an attacking platform.
So predictions, you're going to go with a France win, Claire?
I think so. I think it's a challenging, you know, it's a learning time. It's about developing and learning from our mistakes, you know. Going to France away when you have a vastly experienced squad and you're on the way to your World Cup, it's it's still a huge, huge ask to beat them at home. You know, they have fantastic home support. You know, they have a full stadium. I think it's just a little bit of a step too far, but what's important is that we progress as a team. We see improvement in our discipline, improvement in our defence around set piece. And let's see what our attack is like under pressure from one of the best teams in the world.
Keen.
France have made changes, and I suppose the two-tier nature of the Six Nations means that like the likes of France and England can rotate their squads because they're trying to build depth for the World Cup. So it makes sense. So that's what France, to me, that's what it looks like they're doing here. So, you know, if Ireland were to get a good start and the big crowd was to get a bit nervy, like there could be a bit of complacency in the French ranks, and you'd never know from there. I was just having a look. I think the bookies make it 23 points in France's favour, which probably sounds about right. So look, I think we just want to see an improved performance from the Irish team, more cohesion and showing that they maybe have learned a few of the lessons from last week. But that's going to be easier said than done, because I think the power of this French pack is going to be on another level. To see they can put in a good show. Like you said, I'm heading over there. So, I mean, hopefully I'm reporting on a historic victory for Ireland.
Oh, hopefully so. Well, Keane, enjoy Toulouse, and Claire, enjoy watching from the couch. Well, that's it from us on the left wing. Greg McWilliams will actually be on the left wing with Luke and Will next week. We'll also be back to review Ireland's performance against France and look ahead to Ireland's round 3 game against Italy at Musgrave Park. Bye for now.